Join me to welcome to the podium for lecture three, the Director of Youth Affairs, Christ Apostolic Church, Nigeria and Overseas, Pastor Peter Olaniwaju.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. To him be the glory. No man receive anything except is given from above. I want to thank him alone, who from my mother's womb separated me for this assignment. That statement is deep for me. And I'm very sure that he has done the same for you. He has separated you from your mother's womb. I'm pressing my spirit to just press a little bit on the issue of consecration that we just prayed about. Thank God my dear brother was talking about the dimensions of consecration. Just yesterday, as we were coming, I was sharing with my brother as I was reading through the book of Chronicles. I saw that it is possible for prophecy to be upon a man's life, and he can, that prophecy will not be fulfilled because it cannot pay the consecration of the fulfillment of prophecy. Did you hear what I just said? And it is possible for someone to know the prophecies, the promises of God upon his life. And you have a specific assignment and you are not ready to pay, to give yourself to the consecration of the assignment. That's why I want you to pray now. The assignment in our hand is heavy, that if we fail to give attention to the consecration of the assignment, we will only know the promises and the fulfillment will be a mirage. I say in the name of Jesus, upon somebody's life, the fulfillment of God's promises will not be a mirage over your life. Are you ready to pray? Cry with the whole of your heart. Lord, show me the consecration of my assignment. For Samson, he must not hit, he must not cut his hair. And the parent told him, but fortunately, he misused the opportunity. Thank God for mercy. Some of us, we know the consecration of our assignment. Did anybody understand what I'm talking about? It's not general. You cannot make a doctrine out of it, but the Lord told you. You know that the Lord said it to you. Help is coming for somebody now. Somebody who had missed that. You miss it, and God is saying there is help for you now. But for everyone, can you ask him, Lord, show me the consecration of my assignment. It's not general scripture. It's something specific to you. For John, he had to live in the wilderness and to be eating only honey. And in fact, his consecration demands that he doesn't wear any cloth. Everybody is wearing suit. He said, you cannot wear suit. It's as serious as that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, show me the consecration of my divine assignment. Show me the consecration of my divine assignment. Open your mouth in the name of Jesus. The consecration of my divine assignment. Lord, please show it to me. Show it to me. I want to fulfill them so that my work will not be the work of iniquity. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father of light, in whom there is no darkness at all. Thank you for that which you have been doing to us from the beginning of this meeting. Truly, you are here. We have come to this point again to look at the word of light, the word that gives life. We ask, oh God, that this moment will be a real moment of showing us how to go about the assignment in our hands as you impart on us the life that makes impact. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, let your word come with simplicity. Let it be so specific. Let it be so sharp that it will shape us to be better in your hands. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please, you may have your seat. For every leader, your action and inaction is a seed. And your action is a product of the life that you carry. The moment you have wrong seed, you cannot by any other thing manipulate it to be right. It is a seed that will produce its kind. And I have a very strong question in my heart that I have been trusting God to help me with, that I will be able to answer, and I hope you will also be able to answer well. This question, be practical as much as possible, be sincere to yourself. Do you want your followers, the youths under your watch, to become like you? Can you boldly say to the youths that are under your watch, follow me? Apostle Paul was speaking to the Thessalonian church, and he said, you know our life. We want to impart you not only with the gospel, but with our life also. And I was wondering, why would a servant of God want to impart his own life into people? What about if that life is not correct? This man had worked with God so much that he had received an approval before God that he can recommend his life to people. You know, he said, follow me. Okay, imitate me as I imitate Christ. For him to be able to say that, that means he himself could see that there is a Christ in me. The question again. Sir, ma, can you say to even your children, be like me? Can you say to the youths in your assembly, be like me. Somebody is saying, but we are supposed to be like Jesus. We have a model in the Bible. That could say to those who are following him, do what? Follow me. You can be like me. If you follow my footstep, you will get to where you are going. I saw Jesus. And I want you to turn to that scripture. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, and he said about them that they labor so much to win a convert, but unfortunately, they were able to make them worse than they themselves. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more child of hell than you yourself. Have you seen that scripture? This is Old King James, have you? Now, the people that Jesus is talking about here were people in the house of God, leaders of the people of God. They labor. Now, for them to cross the sea and the land, they must have spent, they must have given themselves to so many stressful things. So many times, they move around, winning converts. And when they win just one, Jesus said, you turn them twice. Now, see this version. This version says what? You make them fit for hell. May your ministry not make people fit for hell. Yeah. So there are people who are laboring and their ministry is only making people to do what? Fit for hell. So check yourself. Your spending, your moving around, what is it making out of people? I know the trouble I have in my heart with this scripture is that they did not only make them like themselves, they make them twice. So when you meet with the people they are raising, they are more dangerous than the devil. But that also emphasizes very profound statement that every leader has the potential to raise men to be twice better than themselves. Did you hear what I just said? Every leader, you have the capacity by virtue of the seed of your actions, by virtue of the seed of your words, by virtue of the seed of what you do and the people see, and the one that they don't see, you can make men twice yourself. So either you are conscious of this or not, our actions are giving birth to people who will be twice ourselves. So, if in the next 5 years you leave office, what kind of people will you leave behind? We're looking at the topic, the life of impact of a leader. Leadership is not measured by position or people that are following you, but by what the people that are following you are becoming. If the lives of people are changing, to what are they changing to? If their lives are getting better, from what to what? Can it be that we can say that people met with you and that in 3.5 years, when they checked them again in Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 13, please look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. In Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 13, the Bible says concerning the disciples, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ordinary men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? With Jesus. And do you know that when Jesus invited them, Jesus had the audacity to say, follow me, I will make you. Jesus was so bold to say that you cannot be with me and not be like me. Jesus was so passionate about it to say that I know my life will produce results. And the result is that when people look at you, when they take notice of you, they cannot separate you from me. Ah, that is the kind of life that God is calling us to. Let us quickly look at Jesus, the perfect model. The perfect model for impact-driven leadership. He was so committed to say that the words that I speak is spirit and life. Wait a minute. Can we study that scripture? The word that I speak is spirit and life. Is spirit and life. Is spirit and life. Oh, let me pray for someone. From now on, may your word become spirit and life. As though Jesus was saying that is the secret of transformation. That the beginning is to say it, but when it comes, it must come with spirit and to produce the life. Did you hear what I just said? It must be product of what the Holy Spirit is bringing out from the inside of you to produce the life that is desired. You know, when he said in Isaiah, he said the word that I sent out will not come back to me void until it has achieved what it is sent to do. May your word begin to do what you send it to do. Not necessarily when you are preaching. You know your word. You don't need to. It's only these people that can hear me. Did I say anything? Did I say anything? Yeah. Did I say anything? Did I say anything? Okay, we are confused now.
Don't be confused.
Did I see anything? But did you see did I utter any statement? But is he doing something?
Yes.
Oh my God. Your word is more than words. Your action is also your word. From now, God is expecting us to carry a kind of life, a kind of life that it becomes word. Sit down. Thank you. That it's so powerful that even when you cough, people understand without saying anything. You know, my mom, when she just do like this, did your mom do like that to you too? And you will understand. She will just do like this. Go inside. So you know that like this is go inside. So you don't need to speak to make a word. Your word, my words, must carry spirit that produces life. This is the assignment before us. What will make you to be like that is what we're looking at. Okay? Jesus did that, and for 3 years, just 3 years, people studied the disciples and they said, why? It's my prayer time. Lord, you are faithful. Thank you. Jesus only met with his disciples for 3 years. He said, come and be with me. If I have the opportunity to send you, I will send you. It is first for us to carry this life of Christ that we can also begin to say that if I meet with you for 6 months, you will become another man. We must become Christians and leaders that when people stay with us for 6 months, they will begin to reflect you. And because you are carrying Christ, they will reflect Christ. Sir, now you have been in leadership for 4 years, 5 years. How many people can boldly say that my life has been challenged by your life? How many of them can say that your prayer life has challenged them? You know, they saw Jesus. They saw the way he was praying. They must have been discussing it. I say, Kai, it's like the way this man is praying, and the way he's doing it, that's what is making him to have result. Oh, see the way he told us when we were just casting out that demon, we cast it out. The demon did not go, and he just said, go out of him. They told him, okay, please, show us the secret. He now said, this kind will not go except with fasting and prayer. He now said, okay, teach us to pray. It's like John taught us how to pray. But the kind of prayer you are praying has results that John could not match. Can you teach us? Brethren, can people walk with you for a few days and see your prayer life? Not that you want to show them all, but because you cannot do but pray. They will just say, Oga, I repay a lishike magbadwa. We have tried it too. But can you teach us? May that become our lives. Okay, let's quickly look at Paul. I'm going somewhere. Where we are going is far. Wherever the Holy Spirit will help us to finish this material, we'll finish it. But it's simple enough for you to understand. You know, impact-driven leadership is not just about you saying, I am an impact-driven leader. I'm impact-driven. Results don't shout, but they are visible. You don't need to brag about it. People will begin to see it. Just like Apostle Paul began to experience in his ministry. And from our text, he said, you are our epistle. You are the one that people are reading. You yourself are all the endorsement we need. We don't need people to endorse us for anything. You are the epistle. You are our endorsement. Your very lives are a letter. Hey, your own very lives are letters that anyone can read by just looking at you. I like this version. Did you see that scripture? People that he met with. I am praying for someone. Whatsoever God did to Jesus, whatsoever he did to Paul, that made his ministry, his leadership, to be producing people like this, that he could say to them, you are our letters. You are the approved, you are our own showroom. You are our own products that people can see. May God do it to us. His leadership, the leadership of Paul, was measurable. Communities were transformed. Faith of people were spoken of far and abroad. Disciples that he sat upon became the example of all believers. Do you know that scripture says that we should be example of all believers? Now, those who will become the example must have received that life from somewhere. And it was a product of somebody sitting on them. And eventually, Paul, by the grace of God, the people that he led become the message. So, what is the call of God for us as leaders? Either you are conscious of it or not, your life is transmitting something. It will only go from higher level of consecration to a lower level of consecration. Did you understand that? Science students. It moves from where? Is it from lower to higher? It must move from higher to lower. So if you have higher life, it's supposed to move from your life to the people that are following you. Your life is transmitting something. And I must say to us that God is expecting us to be a transformed person so that we can transform others. I need to say this. Because in the course of the assignment in our hands, God wants to begin to deal with our lives, deal with us, so that you can be the correct example he can place before the people of God. If you are a leader that has not been supportive of your pastor, either as assembly leader or in your DCC, you are the only one that will always antagonize. You are the only one that will gang up against your leader, even when the leader is not doing right. You don't have the right to gang up against him. The moment you are doing that, you have positioned yourself to be a man that is not qualified to transform other people's life. God has given us specific instruction in the morning, bringing issue of integrity, faithfulness to us. We cannot do less if we are going to be agent of transformation. We must be trustworthy. Trustworthy in our dealing with people and money. We must not be the kind of leaders that when they are talking about issue that has to do with conformity to the laid down principles of God for us in Christ's apostolic church, that you have found wanting. Now, let me say this to you. There are practices in the church, and each denomination has something that God has called them to do, but with the token of their consecration. We must be careful not to be leaders who will, for the sake of what is in vogue and the trending things, neglect the token of the consecration of the assignment of Christ's Apostolic Church. I know many people will say, will it take us to heaven? It doesn't take, no one with their consecration, first of all, take them to heaven. It gives you the opportunity to be usable and useful by God. Don't be a sister called that in church, you don't use earring. But when you are going to work, you use it. That's double life. Eh? One sister, I'm going to call you. And you can lose a bet, you go. Now, listen to me, sir. Don't be the kind of youth leader who will be teaching our youth, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you are not paying some dues in church. No. You are a wicked leader. Say not me again. Let's quickly look at the life of Paul beyond the pulpit. Some, we have mentioned all of this, but I just want us to look at maybe two of his words. I think I've mentioned it. You are a witness and God also. Paul was talking to the people and he said to them, you know my life. You know the hidden life. And I want us to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Please, every leader that will be transformational, that will carry the life that can transform others, may this become your testimony from now on. Amen. Do you know some of our leaders, they cannot, in their, if they have any of their youth that is coming around to visit them, they will tell all their children, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody, pack, 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 pack. Some people, visitors are coming. You quickly arrange. Mommy, that issue we are discussing. Emile, sorry, Sibayen. We'll come and finish it. Just let them finish. But make sure, question, Noma, put food for her. Huh? Can you read this for us? No. 2 Timothy, I said. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, perseverance. You know all of this about me. Can I have it in King James? There must be a open life that every leader must live. I know when we were growing up, we had some of our leaders who we can walk into their rooms without struggle. Sir, can they come to your room? No, we have limits. We have boundary in this house. You cannot sit on people's life like that. That you and your some of those people that are traveling with you, when you want to change, you need to send them out. Before, especially male brothers. I'm not saying you should go and be opening your body in the front of sister. Now, you cannot undress before a brother to say, we want to sleep on the same bed together. We should be watchful of you. Because we have seen so many under their suits, there are some other things. Paul said, you know my doctrine. Now, do you have a doctrine? What doctrine, what are the spiritual value that you have that people can begin to cherish? That when they want to say it, I know he's a man of faith, he's a man of prayer, he's a man of the word, he's a man of integrity. You know my doctrines. Do they know your doctrines? Is anything goes? You are the one that is joining them to do everything that everybody is doing. Are you a general overseer of everything? They should know who you are. Your doctrine. My manner of life. My manner of life. The kind of things I can tolerate, the kind of things I cannot tolerate. They must know your purpose. When people meet with you and stay with you for 5 minutes, they should have an idea of what is driving your life. And can I say to you, when our brother was asking about mentorship, the truth is, what they are seeing in those people outside, they can't find you with you. Did you hear what I just said? And when they can't find it with you, they will go elsewhere to go and look for it. Have you seen in a place where you just go to minister like this, and three youths will follow you and say, sir, can you be our mentor? Have you seen that? I'm wondering, I said, where are you coming from? You have a pastor. If you are meeting me for just 2 hours of preaching and you are changing your mentor to me immediately, you will soon change from me too. Because it's likely what you are looking for, I don't have it. But you see, if we have the correct life, there is no how they will come to us and not meet something. You know my faith. My long suffering. How I can endure things. I used to do this example. Man of God, please come. This brother's name is Ejemima. I'm serious. Abi, what is the name they used to call it? Ejemima. So, Eshekini. This brother has long suffering.
You don't know what I'm doing to him. But he's doing what? Do you know what I'm doing? And he can see and deal. But if it is on people,
some of us, we don't have a pamara of any altar. What do they call it, pamara in English? You cannot endure anything. Anything, you say, as the youth leader, we cannot take it. We cannot take all this. You cannot take it that you are showing us. You are only saying to the young people behind you that you don't have long suffering. If you look at long suffering, it has two words. There is long and suffering. There are times God wants to shape you with a leader, a pastor that will resist you. You have good idea. They will say, for what? You cannot do it here. And because of that, they want to now deprive you of other opportunities that you have to reach out to the people of God. When you are passing through that, it's not the time to now say, well, Brother Ijemimo, I know the grace of God upon your life. I know the grace of God upon your life. Say, Brother Kini, Sister Abolu, you know all of us. We, in this church, it's like we are not relevant. So we need to move. I'm looking for another place. I've been praying, and I saw that the Holy Spirit is leading me. We know the Spirit that is leading you. We know that Spirit. It's the Spirit that is called the Spirit that did not have long suffering. It's a spirit of rebellion. And it's more than, it's terrible than witchcraft. Go and sit down. Thank you, sir. As I want to begin to bring us to one very important area, can I request of you that we live an open life like this, that people can say they know our lives. Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of the Lord, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. May the grace of God upon your life not be in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. So have the life that we impart other people. It doesn't come by wish. It doesn't come by desire. It doesn't come by, I have learned the ropes. It's, I have also do this. It comes by grace. Paul acknowledged that. And he said it to us. He didn't hide it. He didn't hide it. And you know that for Apostle Paul, if not that Jesus is the Lord of all. You know, one of the issues the Muslim has with us, they have with us is the issue that we have exalted Paul above Jesus. Have you heard them say that before? They said the teachings of Paul actually had made the gospel to be twisted and we have made it to be watered down. It's only shows that they didn't understand. Because Paul will not talk less of Jesus at any point. But if not for the fact that he exalted Jesus above all, we would have considered him as the most insightful apostle about the gospel. So he has reason to be able to tell every leader, look on me. Look at me. You can follow me. If you follow me, you will get to heaven. Ha. Did you understand what I just said? It's possible for him to say, look at me. If you look at me and follow my manner of life, you will get to heaven. That's very risky, isn't it? But that was it. He now said all of that did not happen because he desired to say that,
but because there's a grace of God upon our life. For those leaders that are just coming here, this is not good. You don't know them. Face me. Now, can we quickly look at what he said he did by the grace of God, but that he did not only do it with the grace, he labored. Brethren, look at that scripture again. There are two important things I want to show us there. Grace gave him the capacity, but labor gave grace expression. Grace of God upon a man's life will make you to do more than what ordinarily you can do in your power. But you must labor to give grace a voice. You must labor to make grace to work. You must labor to ensure that grace find expression. And I want to quickly say to you that many of us, we have not been using the grace of God upon our life to achieve great things for him. You know, most of the time we say, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. You know, most of the time when people say by the grace of God, they want to be lazy. Have you noticed that? They want to use it to give excuse for their failure. Say, this thing, we will do it by the grace of God. The moment they just hear by the grace of God, just know that that thing is not likely to come true. We cannot be hiding under the grace of God and be doing nothing. You don't take the grace of God in vain. Tell somebody, you don't take the grace of God in vain. Grace is available for you to increase your capacity, to increase your output. Don't take this grace in vain. The opposite of labor is laziness. Did you hear that? And the first laziness I see that many Christians and especially youth leaders are doing is laziness of the mind. Laziness of the mind. When you are lazy in your mind, it will show in every area of your life. And today, I rebuke that spirit of laziness in every leader of the youth in Christ's Apostolic Church in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to conquer it. Conquer the spirit of laziness. Otherwise, you will take the grace of God in vain. You must conquer procrastination. You must conquer distraction. Distraction of all kinds. And as people of God, leader of the people of God, and especially youths in Christ's Apostolic Church, you must conquer impatience. Impatience is one of the things that will make you not to labor with grace of God. When you want to see results, quick, you will throw away the priest of God because you have not seen the desired result in them. Look at the servant of God yesterday. He was talking about five people came to him, and the first four, the Holy Spirit said to him, these ones are forerunners. Did you hear that yesterday? And he now said, there is that last one. She's the one that I am really targeting. And she's not doing anything sinful like that. Oh, she just felt there's a vacuum in her. Did you hear that? Now, if you just do impatient and say, sister, because of time, I'll see you some other time, you will miss. We must deal with impatience to labor with grace. So let's quickly look about 17 things, but I will jump. I will leave you to the rest. I will just pick some few ones. Number one. Thank you. Number one,
Among the many things that Paul said, he labored and above them all abundantly. He labored abundantly above them all. The first one is he labored more in pursuing Christ personally. Don't be a Christian that doesn't know Jesus personally. No, there is a knowledge of Jesus. There is a knowing of Jesus. Who is the mother of Jesus? Where was he born? All of that is the knowledge of who? Of Jesus. But the knowing, the experiential knowledge of him is that he comes to you and you can walk with him. I was shocked of recent. I was just talking to some youth and I said, it is possible to know God. I've seen some leaders that when you ask them, how do you know there is God? They cannot explain, even from knowledge perspective. Do you understand what I just said? You know, should be able to, as a leader, and I think we will need to organize some level of training for ourselves on Christian apologetics. Some people cannot engage intellectuals when it comes to the issue of the Bible. They ask you, you people are serving three gods. Are we serving three gods? If I put one question to you now, I'm sure that very few of us will be able to answer that question. Is God three in one? I don't want to go that route. Now, he labored to know Jesus personally. So much that he said, I count everything that I have achieved as dung. Laboring to know Jesus personally must be your pursuit, must be your desire above every other thing. That is where you can have the kind of life that can transform others. He labored more in prayers. And he was talking to the Thessalonian church that I pray always for all of you. I can imagine. I understand when Apostle Paul says, I am praying for all of you. He labored more. You see, you can't produce anything in the life of the people that are following you, your followers, if you can't labor on them in the place of prayer. Words is not enough. Teaching, sound teaching is not enough. That's why Apostle Peter said, we will give ourselves continually to praying and the ministry of the word, because the word is the seed, but the watering is the prayer. Omotadua, omotoro lomba bi. Did you hear what I just said? Omoti oro Olorun ba se kini to ba bi bai on ladu a ma wo dagba. Only a child that the word of God give birth to is what prayer will nurture. Don't be the kind of leader that will only be ewa gbadua gbogbo adua te de fe gba adua ogun ni akai. When will you wake up to begin to live in the reality of the redemption that you have in Christ Jesus? There is an identity you have in Christ Jesus that takes you away and puts you to sit with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. Let me tell you something. Some of our youth have termed our church as Ijo Ologun. Togun won ba ti se won lo si ijo to logo Togun won ba ti se kini to ba ti se ni do lodo wa won lo si ijo wo ijo to logo we must Do more in the place of prayer for them. And when we are leading them to pray, we should lead them to pray the Bible. I was studying and I was checking the prayers of our fathers. Even the Apostle Babalola, their prayer was not first about the enemy. Their prayer was getting the power to live above the enemy. Their prayers is around, oh Lord, show me myself. How many of you met that prayer? That Uluwa fiara ami ami, jeri obo siri mi. How many of you met that prayer? Their prayer is, we are going for another crusade. Uluwa gbai befunwa, Uluwa gbai. Those are the kind of prayer. They prayed and they saw results. Paul also labored more in prayer. He labored more in teaching and explaining the truth. People of God, we must not be lazy leaders who cannot labor to know the truth. You must labor in the place of studying to be able to teach the truth. I was disappointed when one of our friends he was sharing with me that he went to one of our church and a youth led prayer. And when he saw the way the young man led the prayer, he felt so bad. And he said, this is unusual of CAC. That what he knows that he has read about Babalola is that Babalola will say, I have seen it in the word of God. That's why I'm praying it. And that is why I am seeing it working. That this young man of God, he just led prayer without having a thorough understanding of the scripture. May you not be that kind of representative of Christ's Apostolic Church. He labor more in praying in tongues. Somebody will say, don't let us bring that. See, go and read. Apostle Babalola and our fathers, they pray in tongues. My mom is over 70. She's going to 74 or something. She prays in tongues. And it's not now. She has been doing it since I was 12, that I remember. It's a way to engage the supernatural. And I'm not saying the kind of praying tongues that people are doing today that they don't know even what God can confirm and say, I don't know them. But for the fact that there is fake, means that there is original. He labor more in personal holiness and discipline. I cannot emphasize on that. This is the secret. He labored more in personal holiness and discipline. He said he will always put himself under this one that your phone cannot be controlled. That you wake up on your phone and sleep off on your phone. And you are a leader. You can't go far. No. If you cannot discipline yourself with phone, you will fall into temptation of any kind. He labored more in hard work and diligence. That was why he was able to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He labored in reading and learning and in doctrine. Labor in reading and learning. I have come to realize that Jesus also read for long. As I'm about to close, I want to bring this challenge to you. Every leader that is here, cultivate the habit of reading. It will enhance your capacity and help you to fulfill that which God wants you to do. It gives you the capacity to transform others. And don't read anyhow. Be intentional about your reading. Identify areas of your life where knowledge is still lacking. Praise the Lord. Identify areas of your life where knowledge is what? You need to check Timothy, Titus. Paul was talking to Titus and he said, I'm coming to Titus chapter 1 verse 5. I'm coming to you to fix those things that were lacking. You should know what is lacking in your life and be intentional to seek knowledge for it. Because everything that you see as lack is a reflection of a knowledge that you don't have. Read. 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 Don't be lazy. Some people start a book. They start a book and they can't finish it. If you are there, you are the type that pick a book and you can't finish one. Receive grace to start and finish. Some people throughout last year, they didn't read one book and you are leading youth. Not one book. By the grace of God, what we're planning with some of our leaders is the moment we have WhatsApp group for all the leaders, we will give you compulsory book to read every month. And you can do it. You can do it. I didn't read at all last year. I didn't read at all. I think I read over 15. And I know some people did more. Some people did more. How many books have you read? January is ending now. This year, have you read any book? Even the Bible. Do you know some people start reading the Bible? They start reading Genesis, Luke from since 2018. They have not finished Luke. How do you know what to teach the people of God? Labor in reading. Okay. I will allow you to go read the rest because I'm going somewhere as I finish now. Okay, I think I need to talk about this. Labor more as a team, not as a lone ranger. Apostle Paul labored. You will always hear him. He has different kind of people that he was working with at every time. Labor more, not as a lone ranger. Labor as a team. You have more results when you labor like that. He labored across boundaries. He knows the category of people he's leading. I think I need to come down here to tell you this. Please, don't generalize your teachings to the youth that you are leading. They are in different categories. It takes a man that can study his audience to know how to divide the word of God appropriately to them. Paul was able to discuss about slaves and he preached to them. He discussed about masters, he preached to them. He discussed about husbands, he preached to them. He discussed about widows, he preached to them. He discussed about which other one? Children. How they should relate with their parents. We cannot do less. We must labor in that dimension too, so much that when you are discussing teachings with your members, they know you are meeting their need and you are coming to their level. Paul said, I become all things to all men. That's the life of impact of a leader. Let's quickly, okay, this last one is very important. He labor more in sensitivity to the Spirit's prompting. Brethren, there are so many things that we can do, but that the Holy Spirit will not do with us. Did you hear what I just said? There are many good things, good desires, that the Holy Spirit will say, no, we are not doing that now. May you be sensitive to Him. We must be leaders that are spirit-led. We must be leaders that are influenced by the Holy Spirit. Paul wanted to go and preach in Asia, and he was running. We will go and lay the foundation. We will go and start something there. And the Bible recorded that, and the Holy Spirit restrained him.
But eventually, for two times, the Holy Spirit restrained him. May the Holy Spirit begin to restrain you. But you see, he saw in a vision that the Macedonian people were calling him. And on getting to that land, boom, results. May the Lord lead you by the Holy Spirit to give you bountiful harvest in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, this is the secret of impact life. So if we now gather the people of God, we start imparting them, there must be a structure. You remember the servant of God said in the morning that we must have a structure. Now, aside from leadership structure, there must be content, structured content to make a man become like Jesus. If you want to be a medical doctor, when you are admitted, there is a predetermined curriculum that you must go through to become a medical doctor, isn't it? And do you know that every medical doctor in Nigeria, when they get to US, there are basic things they know that those in US also know. Isn't it? What made them to be like that? What made them to be like that? There's a curriculum. As people of God, leaders, and especially Christ Apostolic Church youth at the grassroots, it is important that we don't just organize programs without having a curriculum for it. The disciples were meeting daily and they were being taught in the doctrine of the apostle. There were things that they taught them that eventually when they saw them in chapter 11, when they invited Paul to come and teach them in verse 26, they look at them, they say, these people, they are like Christ. So there is a way to produce people that will become Christ, who will stand as priests and kings. I will just mention 1, 2, 3, and I will close. Number one, we must allow all our program to align with spiritual and moral development of our brethren. I wish I can talk more about the spiritual. Because every other one, you can outsource it. But this other one, let's give attention to it. Because when we are standing as priests of God, we can engage God and light can come to us to shape every other life, every other aspect of our lives. Apostle Paul taught all of these things. And that is why he could produce people that when he was going, he said, you can be like me. Our youth need to be taught thorough how to be saved. When they are thought about that, we should also teach them how to hear God. We must teach them how to study the Bible and receive the word of God from the scripture. I want to share this. This will be the first time I'll be sharing this in the public. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus in 1992. And since then, the Lord has been helping me. Every year, I pick a note and I call it Daily Encounter with God. Of recent, I was just running through my library. And I saw this, my notes, for the year 2006. How many years ago? And in my notes, whatsoever you see God doing now, the Lord said it to me 20 years ago. If you want to have access to it, I can give to you. We have notes. For this year, it's with me in the room. We must teach our youth how to hear God. We must teach them how to study the scripture. You know, when they know God for themselves, it will be difficult for them to be tossed to and fro. When they know God for themselves, brethren, they will be solid, spiritual. Don't let us be leaders who cannot show our youth how to know God. They've been hearing that God said to you, you know the servant of God said it. They've been hearing, oh, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke. And they say, ah, but we are all here. I can't. What the Lord said? How did he say it? You didn't show them. And you know they are asking how. I've seen some young people, they are speaking in tongues, and you ask them, when last did the Lord speak to you? They say, when you hear what they are saying, you know that they have not heard from the Lord. I don't know what they missed, but I know that if the substance is there, they will not miss the voice of the Lord. So leaders, assembly leaders, it is now that you must intentionally sit on your members to teach them how to hear God. When you organize any program, let this become your priority. How to study the Bible. And leaders, if you don't have it, you cannot give it. I will not be surprised if you have not heard the Lord since the beginning of this year. Why? Because even your own growth, you cannot describe it. We must labor to see that they grow spiritually and morally. We must labor to ensure that there is personal and career development of our youth. We cannot afford to have youths who are spiritually sound but quack in their profession. We must give attention, just like Paul gave attention to the issue of marriage and relationship. We must give attention to it. We must give attention to leadership development. These were things that Apostle Paul, by his own ministry and life, was able to do to get impact. And we must teach them about the contribution for our church, to the development of our church. You know, I was surprised. How many of you saw me that I went to, where is that, brother? No, I was at Wolfbeck. Do you know that at Wolfbeck, where our father, I was part of the team that followed our father to the place. And do you know that our youth were there as volunteers? Yes, it's not a crime. That's not bad. But we have not taught them to come and serve in our conferences. We said that if we are expecting 10,000 people at our conference, we should mobilize volunteers, at least 10%. All the coordinators, conference coordinators, you can bear me witness. I'm not sure any conference center could achieve that. We have not taught them how to contribute to the church as stewards. I went into the toilet at Wolfbeck. I saw one. It's not all these hefty men. No. They were young, very neat, very calm. You're welcome. I said, to those to wee-wee. You remember I said that to you, sir? Excuse me, sir. I was asking, I said, what did they teach them that made them like this? Stand to your feet. Brethren, we must teach our young people kingdom advancement. This is when our ministry can be impactful. This is when we have the life that can transform other people. The next move of God is with us. The next move of God is where? Is with us. And we must give it what it takes. May we not fail. May we not fail. Ah, okay, say it to yourself. I will not fail. Can you turn it to prayer? Lord, give me the life of impacts. Give me the life of impacts.